True Green is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, among others. They'll do all of that so you can do literally anything else. You have better things to do with your free time than focus on your lawn care. Let True Green take care of all the hard work it takes to get a great lawn while you take care of everything else on your to-do list. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which gives you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. Think about how hard it is to manage our fantasy baseball teams. You need all the time you can get to put in waiver wire claims, fab bids, send out trades, and set your lineups. You'll have that extra time when True Green is taking care of your lawn. You do you, let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, guaranteed.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
High drive, center field, hit the wall, grand slam. This is magnificent.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Frank, Scott, Chris, and Adam.
Oh, hey there. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today. You are listening and watching this on Tuesday, September 8th. Hope you had a fantastic Labor Day weekend. Frank Stample joined, as always, by Scott White. And this is going to be a fun one because we've talked a little about 2021 drafts, but today on the show, we're doing our first two-round mock draft for 2021. Get excited, Scott. How you doing?
Woo! I am excited. I'm ready to do this. I've put together a little list. This is going to be kind of off the cuff. We didn't talk about it beforehand. You know, we didn't confer with who the other was going to take. But yeah, we might catch each other by surprise. We'll see.
Yeah, admittedly, off the cuff, and I think that's going to make for a fantastic draft. Again, this is the first time that we're doing this, so you know. Things might look a little bit crazy, and we'll talk through some things and see what's going on, and I'm sure by the time we're actually drafting in 2021, things will look entirely different. But it's fun to do that at this point. And reminder, look, it's the first week of September. Things still can change over the course of the final couple of weeks here throughout the fantasy baseball season. Along with the two-round 2021 mock draft, we'll answer your mailbag questions, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com, and it's Team Name Tuesday. So we've got a few of those, and I am looking forward to it. Scott, before we jump into the draft, I do just want to ask you a bit of a fantasy philosophy question. How much will 2020 production, or lack thereof, factor into player evaluation for 2021? Because I think that's what's going to make next year so crazy, because you don't want to just completely dismiss things that happened in 2021. I think some people should gain value for what they did. You know, Manny Machado is a name maybe we'll talk about here in the first two rounds. But at the same time, I feel like there are players that we're just going to be like, all right, we're just going to sweep 2020 under the rug and act like it never happened. So how do we marry those two things together for next season?
I think my hunch, just seeing some of the things being tweeted by people around the fantasy baseball community, is that too much emphasis is going to be put on 2020 for my liking. I mean, even the fact that we're doing this basically 6 weeks into the season, is that about where we're at now?
Yeah.
Six, 7 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous to think that much would change during that time. And yet, I mean, my list here, it's not exactly the same as the first two rounds from this year. So I've certainly changed some things too. But guys like Christian Yelich, Cody Bellinger, I mean, they still strike me as first rounders, even though they obviously haven't performed like first rounders to this point. And it's because I have faith that over a full length season, they would get back to that level of production. We're just not going to have a chance to see it play out this year, because it's in the end, you know, adding 3 weeks that we don't even know about from today, it's still only going to be slightly more than a third of a full length season. And that's just not enough of a sample to really know exactly what's going on for any of these guys.
honestly, when you said in the end, I thought you were going to say it doesn't even matter. And I thought we were just going to break out into like Linkin Park and we were just going to.
It doesn't even matter. Yeah, we could have done that. We could have. I wish I had now.
Do you like Linkin Park, Scott?
That's the only song I know. That's the one.
That's a pretty good one to know. And I think most people know it as well. All right, so let's get things started. The way that this is going to work is we're not really doing this with any type of league format in mind. It's not necessarily for auction or for roto or for head-to-head points leagues. And we're going to alternate picks. So Scott, the gentleman that you are, I will give you first pick overall. Who are you going to take?
That makes you the gentleman, not me. Well, Frank, if you must ask, my first, keeping with what I just said about not wanting to overreact to 7 weeks, six, 7 weeks, whatever it's been. My first pick for a roto draft for 2021, if we had to do it today, would be this guy right here, Ronald Acuna. Yeah. Pick number one. He's missed a lot of time this year, and so it's not totally fair to assess him based on his numbers, but they're skewed by a typical Ronald Acuna slow start. And in between his injuries, he's maintained an even higher level of fire than we've seen from him in the past. I believe coming into Sunday's action, he actually had a higher OPS than Fernando Tatis for all the attention Fernando Tatis has gotten. He hasn't run much, and obviously stolen bases was a big part of why he became the number one overall pick heading into 2020. But particularly with the time he's missed and just given the nature of stolen bases and how they come together, I think it would be foolish to think like that's just not a part of his skill set anymore. And just seems to get better and better every year. So I'm confident still going with Ronald Acuna, number one overall.
All right, Scott. So you do want to do this from a roto perspective, because when I introduced it right now, I said with no league format in mind.
Oh, you did?
No, but it's fine. No, if you want to do it, like, would it change your pick, honestly?
I think it's really hard to do the with no format in mind thing, because stolen bases, like, they're of such inflated value in roto that it's difficult to do. Acuna probably wouldn't be the number one overall pick in a points league.
All right, so let's do it from a roto perspective.
Okay.
You just had the whole deal with your shirt. I mean, you're so excited about Ronald Acuña. We can't change things now. Ronald Acuña, I don't have a problem with him going first overall in a roto draft heading into 2021. And with that, I am going to select old reliable Mookie Betts, second overall in a roto league, who is currently, at this point, batting .316 with 13 home runs, 32 runs, 31 RBI, and 6 steals. So if we had any concern over the steals going down in 2019 when they went down to 16, it seems like so far those have bounced back in the first 39 games that he has played with the Dodgers. Might be a bit of a surprise that neither of us have said Mike Trout to this point, but in a roto draft, like, I don't know if Trout's going to run much anymore. So with that, the first two picks, I think Ronald Acuna and Mookie Betts make a ton of sense.
When you said old reliable, I thought you were going with Trout.
Oh, no.
So to go ahead and speed this along, I will make Trout the number three pick. I would have gone with him at number two. He'd probably be number one in a points league. And, I think there's this impression that he's having a down year. He entered Sunday leading the majors in home runs, and certainly the batted ball stats look as strong as ever for Mike Trout. So, I agree. It's getting to be more concerning what's happening with the steals, though I'll say what I did for Acuna too. I mean, just they tend to come in bunches. So I'm not sure this season's going to offer much clarity at all on that matter. But like, the other four categories are going to be there for Trout. And, although Betts in a year like this, I mean, he's shown it before, he's capable of performing like Trout as a hitter. It's not as bankable as Trout. So I'll make Trout number three after Betts. I would have gone with him number two, but it's not entirely my draft, Frank, and you are entitled to make your own decisions.
Fair enough. All right. So, look, I don't want to throw things off too much here, and I'm not trying to make like the shock jock picks, but in a roto draft, fourth overall, I don't think it's crazy to take Fernando Tatis, and that is who I am going to be selecting. So Ronald Acuna, first overall, Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, and then Fernando Tatis. Reminder that we are recording this on Sunday. Well, now it's Monday. It's past midnight on September 7th. But at this point, Fernando Tatis is batting 307 on the season with 14 home runs and 7 steals. And he is just awesome in every way. Ton of runs scored, RBI as well. Looks like a legitimate 5-category contributor. Fernando Tatis is the fourth overall pick for me, Scott.
Yeah, this is where I slotted him as well, but if Chris Towers could make have his input on this draft, he tweeted this out today or Sunday, I should say. Gosh, he tweets so much I can't find the tweet. He tweeted out, Tatis is definitely going to be the number one pick next season. Like, it was part of a larger tweet, but that was a statement within the tweet. Tatis is definitely going to be the number one pick next season. I thought, definitely? That seems a little strong. But maybe he's right. Maybe this is an instance where the rest of the fantasy community is going to lean heavier on just the 2020 numbers than I will. And, if we're drafting based on 2020 production alone, Tatis number one would make perfect sense. Mm-hmm. His strikeout rate is way down too. That's something we haven't talked about with him. So if that continues, it's just let's give it the last 3 weeks. Let's see where things stand then. Certainly, if he keeps everything up to the extent he has so far, I think Tatis number one overall is something we'd have to consider. But as of today, I'm with you. I have him slotted fourth here. Fifth, I'm going to go with the first pitcher off the board. I think people in general are going to go even heavier after high-end starting pitching, and I'm going to be among them. And the number one pitcher to take, IMHO, is Shane Bieber. Frank doesn't like it.
I love Bieber, man. But I still think Jacob DeGrom, as of now, is the number one pitcher. Just because we've seen him do it for longer. I get the arguments there. I would go with Jacob DeGrom over Shane Bieber, as of now.
I mean, Jacob DeGrom's been his best self in 2020. He's been better than ever. He's 32 now. That's probably the biggest drawback, is he's 32. And just Bieber, nobody eats innings like Shane Bieber does. He gobbles them up. He has an appetite for innings. And and he's proven it now twice over, I think, as much as the 2020 season counts for.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a conversation. I think it's, a debate that we will have probably, at the top. It's preference, Shane Bieber versus Jacob DeGrom. You mentioned the age, of course, but you also mentioned Jacob DeGrom being the best version of himself, consistently throwing 99, 100 miles per hour. I was watching his start over the weekend, and it was like the fifth or sixth inning, and he's just pumping 100 miles per hour in there. Like, it's crazy. And he's throwing 93 mile per hour sliders, and he's been nicked up here and there. But yeah, I prefer Jacob DeGrom as the first starting pitcher off the board, and I will take him sixth overall. So Acuna, Betts, Trout, Fernando Tatis, Shane Bieber, and Jacob DeGrom in a roto draft heading into 2021. You have the seventh pick, Scott.
I slotted DeGrom sixth too. It's amazing how on the same page we are here.
Well, we do the show together, you know.
I will go. This is where it gets tougher. Yelich is still out there. Bellinger's still out there. Of course, Cole. I feel like he's part of a stud SP trifecta. But I think I'm ready to go Juan Soto as the next hitter off the board and the next hitter right now. Still remains, I think it's still an open question how much he's going to help in the steals category, but he doesn't appear to be a nothing there. And kind of like Acuna, as a hitter, he just gets better every year. And he's already basically like Albert Pujols in his prime as a hitter. And he's 21. My gosh, he's 21. His XBA right now is 356. His X-Slug is 764. He's striking out 13.7% of the time. Yeah, Yeah, I'm going with Juan Soto seventh.
Yeah, I have absolutely no problem with it. I was considering taking him over some of the starting pitchers that we took in this, but Juan Soto seventh overall, I think makes a lot of sense. See where the steals kind of land, but gosh, batting average, his quality of contact, strikeouts going down. You're right, just continues to get better. Juan Soto has been fantastic thus far. You're right. This is where things get a little interesting. Is now the time to take the struggling superstars of 2020? I'm going to say no, and this might be a little bit of a surprise, but I'm going to go with Trevor Story, who at this point is batting .294 on the season, 9 homers, 9 steals, and we talk about steals being so scarce in roto formats, and I think Yelich and Bellinger definitely could chip in there, but I trust Trevor Story at this point. Not worried about the splits, you know, especially in roto. Like, he's going to get his numbers over the course of a full season. I think he's just steady and consistent. And I think he is worthy of a mid-first round pick in roto heading into next year. So Acuna, Betts, Trout, Tatis, Bieber, DeGrom, Soto, Trevor Story, 8th overall. And Scott, you have the 9th pick.
I'm going Yelich. I would have gone Yelich with your pick. And I'm going Yelich now. What number is this? What pick are we on?
That was 9th.
Okay, Yelich. Yeah, that seems like great value to me if that ends up happening. I have faith. I mean, he basically was Mike Trout the previous 2 seasons. I have faith that if he had enough time to catch up to Trout this season, he would. The expected numbers look a lot better than the actual numbers. The strikeouts have been coming down. The quality of contact has been just as good as ever in terms of how hard he's hitting the ball. So I really don't have any concerns about Yelich. She's been running even after the knee injury last year. Yeah, boy. But as I'm taking a hard look at the numbers now, I'm wondering if I should have put Yelich even higher. But for this exercise, he's going to be 9th.
Yes, fair enough. And I think it is, you know, should he go over Trevor Story? I think it's definitely a fair question to have. And again, these are conversations that we are going to have. And I'll go with the other struggling superstar. I'll take Cody Bellinger here, 10th overall. Speaking of the expected stats, as of September 7th, Cody Bellinger is batting .217 with a .447 slug. His expected batting average is .285. His expected slug is .500. And he still has 10 home runs and 4 steals. And he's young, still makes a lot of contact, not striking out much this year, plays in one of the best lineups with Mookie Betts. I think this is a good spot to get Cody Bellinger. What do you think, Scott? Should he go higher than this? Is this a fair spot for Cody Bellinger?
I have one person on my list ahead of him, so that's why I was clapping, because you left the other person before me. But I do have Yelich as a Bellinger as a first rounder, which maybe not everybody would. Can you go ahead and run through the 10 names again, just yes, help people out at home?
We have Ronald Acuna, Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, Fernando Tatis, Shane Bieber, Jacob DeGrom, Juan Soto, Trevor Story, Christian Yelich, and Cody Bellinger. For all of that talk about starting pitchers, Scott, we only have 2 in the first 10 picks.
Now we have 3, because this is where Gerrit Cole is going. Pick number 11 for me. Gerrit Cole, 3rd pitcher off the board in the first round. I mean, come on. For the history of Roto, how many times have 3 pitchers gone off the board in the first round? Even this past year, it was basically just Cole and DeGrom, right? Did we ever see Scherzer? Maybe Scherzer crept into the first round in some drafts. But I think definitely those 3, Bieber, DeGrom, Cole, in some order. I have Cole 3rd at 11th overall. And by the way, like I think Bieber, DeGrom, and Cole would probably all go in the top 5 in a points league if we were doing. And that's why I think we kind of, it would be especially difficult given the current environment to just kind of do a one-size-fits-all list. But for Roto, I'll go Cole 11th.
Any pause or concern over what we've seen from Gerrit Cole so far in 2020? Did it ever cross your mind to potentially take someone like Yu Darvish or Aaron Nola ahead of Gerrit Cole?
No, I think it's a clear top 3. I think Cole's been mostly great. He's had some home run issues at Yankee Stadium, which was fairly predictable. I think the level of concern I have for Cole is enough to drop him from 1 to 3 in the SP rankings. I would be thrilled to take him at the end of round 1.
All right, I'm going to go back to a hitter here to round out the first round. You just took Gerrit Cole, of course, 11th overall, and I am going to Trey Turner, who as of now is batting .368. He has 9 home runs, a power spike from Trey Turner that we're not used to seeing. 9 home runs, 32 runs scored, 5 steals, 4 caught stealing. I still like the fact that he has been attempting steals this year, 9 combined at this point. And I think that we can see that rate of that success rate continue to improve as the season goes along here. And I think heading into next year, even at the age of 27, not overly concerned about that age. I still think that we can depend on him for close to 30 steals over the course of a full season, maybe even more than that. I think he's certainly fast enough to do so. I will take
Trey
Turner.
Well, this is what I mean by steals coming in bunches. Remember, it wasn't that long ago we were freaking out because he still didn't have one yet. And he's gotten his 5 in his last 20 games. Mm-hmm. So that's 5 for 6 in his last 20 games.
Do you have a problem with Trey Turner going 12th there?
Oh, no. We had the exact same 12. I mean, we were a little different on the order, but the exact same 12.
we didn't plan this out either. It's pretty crazy.
No. So go through that order again while I pick out my number 13 here.
All right. So the first round that we have here, Mookie Betts, Mike Trout. Mookie Betts was not the first overall pick. It was Ronald Acuna, Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, Fernando Tatis, Shane Bieber, Jacob deGrom, Juan Soto, Trevor Story, Christian Yelich, Cody Bellinger, Garrett Cole, and Trey Turner. You now have pick 13, Scott. What do you think?
All right. This is definitely a roto-specific pick. Roto-specific pick. Got to meet that steals need early. And I think after a curious 2019, this guy has emphatically stated that he is still one of the more reliable power speed threats, and it's Jose Ramirez. 9 for 9 and 9 is what he has in the home run and steals category. I do think we're at a point now with Jose Ramirez where we got to question whether he'll be much help in batting average. But, yeah, I think he's worth taking here.
Yeah, Jose Ramirez, as of now, batting .250, but 9 homers, 9 steals, walking a ton again this season.
Strikes out.
We're probably in, like, that .250 to .260. But imagine that if you're at the turn and you start Trey Turner and Jose Ramirez, you're looking pretty good in steals for the rest of your draft. And then, obviously, you could focus on some pitching throughout the middle rounds there heading into next season. All right, so where do I want to go from here? I am thinking, and I believe that I am going to take... Should I take one of these guys that are also still struggling? I'm going to go with a pitcher here. Double down on pitching.
I think that's a good call.
But which pitcher, though? That's...
I have enough. I could tell you who I think, but it's not obvious.
Yeah. No, I think that there is a conversation for, I have three. Actually, there's 4 names in this conversation. I'm going to go with you, Darvish. And I don't know if that's reactionary, but I think we have enough of a sample size now dating back to last season where it wasn't just the second half. It was like the final 22 or 23 starts of 2019. And now the first 8 or 9 starts of 2020, where that's basically a full season now where Yu Darvish has been fantastic. The walks are down. The strikeouts are up. I think he's in the conversation for NL Cy Young with Jacob deGrom. Yes, you can make the argument probably for Max Scherzer, but Scherzer's getting up there in age. Hasn't really looked the same. I'm going to take Yu Darvish.
Okay, I'm going to take the one that I was thinking, and that's Aaron Nola, who has been fantastic. I think even better than his numbers, and his numbers are pretty dang good. So there are definitely hitters you can make a case for instead. I don't know if when push comes to shove, Darvish and Nola, if they're distant enough from kind of the next group of starting pitchers that they'll really go this early in round 2, at least in a roto league. But I'm kind of following your lead here. Don't want to get left out of the pitching run. Don't know where you're going to go next. So I'll go ahead and take Nola here. At, what is this, 15th overall?
That was 12, 13, 14. That was 15th overall. So the first 3 picks of the second round, Jose Ramirez, Yu Darvish, and Aaron Nola. Did you have a problem with Darvish, by the way, Scott? Or do you think he should go in this range?
I think Nola, and there's one other pitcher that I take ahead of Darvish for sure. But, like, there's certainly an argument. I mean, he might be the NL Cy Young winner. There's definitely an argument to be made. And I think it would definitely go at some point in round two, at least between us.
Fair enough. 13, 14, 15, 16th overall, Scott, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm taking my boy. I'm taking Manny Machado. I don't know if it's too early. Factoring 2020 too much into 2021, but with the combination of Alex Bregman not really looking great so far in 2020, he's been banged up. Francisco Lindor hasn't really looked like himself. What's going to happen in the offseason? Is he going to be traded? Is he going to wind up somewhere else? I think there are other pretty safe options here. I think Manny Machado's just back. I think he's back. I think the Padres lineup is awesome. I think Tatis has helped him a lot. Hosmer has been great. Jake Cronenworth has been there. So far, Manny Machado has 12 homers. He's chipped in a couple of steals. He has 3 steals. He's batting over 300. Counting stats are there. I'm taking Manny Machado, Scott.
It's really been a different Manny Machado than we've ever seen before, because he's always sold out pretty hard for home runs, hitting a lot of fly balls, and the line drive rate is by far the best of his career. And that certainly explains his production so far. I'm just not sure how sustainable it is, given his profile, given his history. So I probably wouldn't even have him in my second round, to be honest. But we know we're on in different places with Manny Machado. You know, I still see so many hitters I can go with here and be equally satisfied that. I think I want to keep hammering home the pitcher point.
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. I really want it to be abundantly clear that this is the direction fantasy baseball is headed. If it wasn't already clear heading into 2020, should be even clearer now. And I think the next pitcher off the board. Oh, I forgot about him. There's actually two pretty good candidates, but I'm going to go with Lucas Giolito as the next one.
Wow, that wasn't even one of the names that I had in mind. Interesting.
Okay. Now, obviously, the last, you know, he's really taken off with his last 4 starts.
Yes, including a no-hitter.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, everything's been up. He's been doing DeGrom-like things with the swinging strike rate. And I don't know if he's worked with James McCann for all those starts, but they really seem to have a good thing going together. And hopefully that's something that can continue into next year. Yeah, but he looks better than he did during a breakout 2019 and is certainly backing up that breakout.
So you went Lucas Giolito, that was 13, 14, 15, 16. That was 17th overall. So far in the second round, Jose Ramirez, Yu Darvish, Aaron Nola, Manny Machado, and Lucas Giolito. And 18th overall, I'm also going to take a pitcher. Is it time? No, it's not time. I'm going with the other old man. I'm going to take Clayton Kershaw over Max Scherzer.
Whoa, I forgot about Max Scherzer. Maybe he should have already gone.
Should he? Oh. Like, I think it's a conversation that we're like, Scherzer so far in 2020 hasn't necessarily been himself. I don't know if I'm overreacting. I just think Clayton Kershaw, like, we have enough now. I think we have enough of him. He's moved away from the back injury. I'm not really worried about it. Yes, he's a little bit older. Same thing with Max Scherzer, but so far in 2020, through his first 6 starts, Clayton Kershaw has a 1.50 ERA and a 2.60 xFIP. He has a 0.72 whip. He's averaging 10 Ks per 9. His fastball velocity is actually up in 2020. It's the highest it's been since 2017. I don't think Clayton, like, this isn't the Clayton Kershaw, you know, sub-2s ERA. I don't think that's going to remain, but can he pitch to a mid-2s ERA over the course of a full season if he can stay healthy? 10 strikeouts per 9? Really low whip? I think it's doable. I like Clayton Kershaw, Scott.
Okay. You're allowed.
Scott doesn't like my picks.
Well, I'm disappointed that I left out Max Scherzer because I feel like he needs to go earlier. But I guess that means I need to take him here because I don't think there's anything wrong with him whatsoever. I guess I overlooked him because he's pushed down far enough in the to-date production, you know. Because the ERA, the whip, where's the whip? They're not so great. They're obviously not up to usual.
It's at 1.38 through Max Scherzer's first eight starts of 2020.
Yeah. But like he started slowly last year too. And that's really all this is so far, is a slow start. The K per nine, same as always. The swinging strike rate, down just a tiny, tiny bit. The velocity, pretty much the same as always. Like, I don't see anything skill-wise that's really changed for Max Scherzer. He's just, you know, hasn't gone on the sort of run that would repair his numbers to this point. He will be turning 37 midway through next season, so that's getting into some worrisome territory. But as the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth starting pitcher off the board, I don't think you can really go wrong with that. We're already up to eight starting pitchers now. What, 19 picks into the draft? We got five left in the second round. Man, there's some big hitters we haven't taken yet. Big hitters.
Yeah, there is. The first 19 picks. So if you had to redo this, Scott, where do you think Max Scherzer actually should go? Should he be the fourth starting pitcher off the board after Gerrit Cole?
Yeah. It's not obvious. It's not obvious. I don't think it's embarrassing that we left him out until now. The only one that's gone that I can say for sure I want Scherzer more than is Kershaw. Not that Kershaw hasn't been very good this year, so I get why you took him. I think you can make an argument for Scherzer as early as fourth still, and I definitely wouldn't take him later than eighth at the position. But last 3 weeks is going to say a lot, I think, as far as that goes, both how he performs and how guys like Giolito, Nola, Darvish perform.
All right, 20th overall. I am going to take one of those hitters, another struggling hitter in 2020, but someone who has been pretty consistent to this point, and I think that he will bounce back. And I will take Francisco Lindor, 20th overall. I think that the speed power combination that he's displayed in the past is legitimate, and I think that this is a good spot to get him. Whereas normally in a roto draft in 2020, he was a mid first rounder, late first rounder. Now you're getting him in the mid second round. I think that's good value there, Scott. So 20th overall, Lindor, you're up 21st.
21st, 22nd, 23rd. So I got two picks left. Got to make it count. Oh, man. There's too many good players left. That's what happens when you stack all these pitchers in. And by the way, I think there's one more pitcher that still needs to go here.
I think so, too. I don't know. I hope it's the same name.
I hope so. But I think I would be remiss to leave out Freddie Freeman. Going to go Freddie Freeman here, especially given first base is, you know, shakier than we've seen in years past, and he's just so bankable. There's really nothing bad you can say about Freddie Freeman.
Yes, that was Freddie Freeman, 21st overall. Updating you on the second round, Jose Ramirez, Yu Darvish, Aaron Nola, Manny Machado, Lucas Giolito, Clayton Kershaw, Max Scherzer, Francisco Lindor, and Freddie Freeman with the 22nd overall pick. There are a lot of names left. You know, I probably pulled Manny Machado up the board, but whatever. It's fun. I love him. I'm going to take the starting pitcher I believe that we are referring to. And I am going to go with Walker Buehler.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
Does he still deserve to be a second round pick, Scott?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, it's really the disappointment from Buehler this year has really been in the Dodgers' handling of him. And maybe they'll treat him with kid gloves at the start of next year too. But in a full length season, you know he's going to have time to make up for it. He is definitely somebody who I think is going to be in the top five at this position for a long time. So to slot him down 10th, where we have him, the 10th pitcher off the board. How about that? 10 pitchers through two rounds in a roto league. He would have been. He's the other pitcher that I felt like we needed to see. I'm glad we got all 10 of them in. I don't feel like we really need to see any others in the first two rounds because the next names you start considering are like Jack Flaherty. Okay, haven't really seen much of him this year. Sonny Gray, Luis Castillo. I mean, guys who You just don't feel the same level of confidence in them, I don't think. That's probably the next wave at the position. Maybe Zach Allen enters that group, I don't know. So I think we got the right 10 names represented at this position. I don't know. I might leave Clayton Kershaw out of my second round, but it makes sense. It makes sense why he'd be ranked among this group.
23rd overall, Scott.
Last pick. Got to go with my boy Bregman.
Mm-hmm. I think this is a good spot for him to go.
Yeah. Yep. Could end up performing like a top five player next year. Could end up performing like a top five player from today on. There's one other underachieving third baseman that I'd like to be able to pick here, but Bregman's the priority.
And now you put the pressure on me, Scott, because I'm trying to think.
There's also an outfielder, right?
There's a lot of names. And we'll go over a few of the names that like just missed a cut. And we'll have a long time to talk about this in the offseason. I am going to go with 24th overall in our 2021. This is the first mock draft we're doing. First two rounds. I will say that it should be... I will go with Anthony Rendon, 24th overall. And is that who you were thinking, Scott?
It was not. No. Were you trying to pick who I was thinking?
Maybe.
It would have been Arenado, who really I don't have any concerns about.
Okay.
Rendon, probably a top two rounder at a points league since he's walking more than he strikes out. The other name I was thinking really should be in the top two rounds is Bryce Harper.
Yeah, me too.
But there's just not room for him. So somebody has to be left out. Well, I guess in this case, it ended up being Arenado and Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
You know,
I think all those hitters will go in a similar range, though. I think mid to late second rounders, potential early third round picks, Harper, Rendon, Arenado, looking at the numbers now for Rendon, I mean, they're not amazing. 288, 7 homers, 946 OPS, definitely better in a points league. But I was considering Bryce Harper. That was one of the names.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's possible we could have left some of these names out to get Arenado and Harper in, but we'd probably disagree over which names. But no, that's fine. That's fine. I think it's pretty good, actually. I feel great about the first round. I feel a little less confident in the second round, but that's the way it should be. So do you want to run through the two rounds again?
Yeah, let's do this. So our first round, 2021 mock draft, Ronald Acuna. This is for a roto draft. Ronald Acuna, Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, Fernando Tatis, Shane Bieber, Jacob deGrom, Juan Soto, Trevor Story, Christian Yelich, Cody Bellinger, Garrett Cole, Trey Turner. That was the first round. And then the second round, we had Jose Ramirez, Yu Darvish, Aaron Nola, Manny Machado, Lucas Giolito, Clayton Kershaw, Max Scherzer, Francisco Lindor, Freddie Freeman, Walker Buehler, Alex Bregman, and Anthony Rendon. Nolan Arenado just missed the cut. Definitely can make the argument he should be there. Bryce Harper. I thought about Luis Robert, too, in a roto draft. I don't think it's crazy. The batting average is not fantastic, but legit, at least four category production so far that we've seen. Batting average might fluctuate a little bit because he does strike out, you know, around 30% of the time. But he makes such hard contact, Scott. It's kind of similar to Aaron Judge in that way, where Judge can maintain a 270 to 280 batting average just because he impacts the ball so hard when he does make contact. I think that might be a similar case for Luis Robert.
Anybody who's going to be a viable steal source who contributes something else probably deserves to go as early as round three in a roto league. And in Luis Robert's case, it looks like that something else is going to be lots and lots of power. Tim Anderson, I think we might have to start thinking about him at this range in a roto league. I have faith in the batting average. I know he's going to be somewhat useful in his steals. I'm still questioning the power production that he's performed at so far. And not ready to jump on him quite this high yet, but he was part of my thoughts. Kyle Tucker is another one. Now it's interesting because Chris Towers, especially, he talked about before the season how as much as Robert was being hyped, Kyle Tucker flying under the radar, could end up having an even better season. And sneakily, very stealth-like, Kyle Tucker has outperformed Robert to this point in both points and roto leagues. So that's actually come to fruition. Now, I think if you went out and polled 100 fantasy baseball experts, who would they rather have in a standard roto next year? Almost all of them would say Robert, but Tucker's actually been better, and Tucker hasn't struck out much. Like, especially as the season's gone on, his strikeout rate's gotten to be pretty low, and he's running. So I think it seems premature to say he's second, third round range yet, but 3 weeks from now, we may see him that way if things continue to trend as they have so far.
Fair enough. The last name that I'll mention, probably going to be like a third round pick, Corey Seager. Corey Seager has been fantastic and someone that we did really like. He's betting over 300. Really not going to give you steals, but I think in terms of like a Freddie Freeman type profile from the shortstop position, I think that's something that you can expect out of Corey Seager. All right. Take a quick break and quickly remind you that you can listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on your smart speakers. That in addition to all the normal places you consume this podcast, we are also available on the smart speakers. All you have to say is, hey, Alexa, play full name podcast Fantasy Baseball Today, or okay, Google, play Fantasy Baseball Today podcast to hear us when it's most convenient for you. And also, if you are a fan of this podcast, obviously you are, that's why you're listening or you're watching, we're asking you to just tell one person. You don't have to tell the entire world, but tell one person about Fantasy Baseball Today. We appreciate it. All right, when we come back, we're going to answer your questions, a mailbag here on Fantasy Baseball Today.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Worn by players like Michael Harris to meet the demand of elite ball players, the New Balance Fuel Cell 4040 V7 is a versatile option. The 4040 V7 is built for the athlete who needs responsiveness and ability to cut and run at their full speed. The model features a fuel cell foam underfoot and a synthetic and mesh upper to provide breathability, comfort, and a snug fit as you round the bases. The fuel cell midsole features nitrogen-infused foam specifically designed to propel athletes forward. Learn more about the 4040 at newbalance.com.
Mailbag, answering your questions, fantasybaseball at cbsi.com. This first one comes from Jason. I know these could change because of injury or something, but 12-team, 8x8 categories league with six keepers that we keep around earlier each year. I'm definitely keeping Jacob DeGrom in the sixth and Walker Buehler in the eighth. So I have to keep four of these options. You ready, Scott?
Sure.
Charlie Morton in the fifth. Franmil Reyes in the seventh. Hyunjin Ryu in the 14th. Kyle Tucker in the 15th. Kenta Maeda in the 16th. Marcus Semien in the 20th. Dylan Cease in the 22nd. And Luis Severino in the 24th. What do you think, Scott?
I think Ryu in the 14th. This is not order of priority. I'll go order of priority. Tucker in the 15th, based on what we just talked about. Kenta Maeda in the 16th. Probably Ryu in the 14th would be next in priority, but I think Severino in the 24th is pretty high priority given the keeper structure. Like, how... How many years is Severino going to be a stud for you if you're starting at round 24 and just moving up around every year? So I think that's a pretty, I feel pretty confident saying those are the four. Tucker, Maeda, Ryu, and Severino.
I agree 100%. Those are the four that I was thinking as well. So,
man, yeah, your pitching's going to be stacked next year too because you already have DeGrom and Buehler.
Ooh. You have five fantastic pitchers and you have Kyle Tucker who top 15 outfielder upside to be even better than that. based on how he's performed so far. So, yeah, it's a nice little start there that you have Jason. This one's from Matt. Can you talk about your expectations for these five pitchers for the 2021 season and beyond? I need to keep three of them for my 12-team five-keeper Roto League. My other keepers will be Betts and Rafael Devers. Blake Snell, Tyler Glasnow, Mike Clevinger, Steven Strasburg, and Chris Sale. So maybe just give a quick thought on each one of them, Scott, heading into next year, and which three of those would you keep? Of course, we don't know the context, but let's just say all the same value. Blake Snell, Tyler Glasnow, Mike Clevinger, Steven Strasburg, and Chris Sale.
My confidence is lower in all of these guys than it was coming into this year. Glasnow probably has held the value the best, so he would be the easiest to keep. I think you have to keep Snell. I wish his workload wasn't a constant concern, but he's really good. And keep one more right between Clevinger, Strasburg, and Sale. I mean, I'm inclined to say Clevinger as of now, but if he kind of staggers to the finish line, it might be Strasburg. I think Sale is just kind of too risky by comparison. I mean, I know Strasburg's having basically a season-ending injury too, but you know, not to the same extent as Sale. So right now I'd be inclined to say Snell, Glasnow, and Clevinger. It may end up Strasburg instead of Clevinger, though.
And we've mentioned this on the podcast before. Steven Strasburg's value is like a roller coaster year in and year out. One year he performs awesome, we take him in the second or third round. Then he gets hurt, and then we get him in the fifth and the sixth round the next year. So as of now, that's just what I'm thinking, where I'm thinking Strasburg is going to wind up next year, Scott. I think he probably winds up back in like that fifth, sixth round range. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep.
Cool. This one's from Jason. Would you drop Shohei Ohtani, the hitter, for Garrett Hampson in a 6x6 OBP Dynasty League daily lineups? OBP Dynasty, Ohtani, or Garrett Hampson?
No, I mean, I assume you're just talking about the hitter version of Ohtani. It's on a platform that splits them up. Even so, no, especially since it's a daily league and especially... I mean, there's a chance Ohtani has to give up pitching. There's a chance.
And that might mean we see that might get the best value out of him, Scott. If we can get Ohtani, who just bats every single day, who only focuses on hitting, I think that he is a talented hitter. I think at times, you know, when he's trying to split his focus between two different things, that's where he kind of gets himself in trouble.
I think based on the way these different platforms score Ohtani, I think the best version of him would be one or the other if he devoted all his focus. Like, as a baseball fan, I don't want to see him do that, and it doesn't sound like that's on the table really yet, but it could become that if the Angels don't feel like they're getting full value on their investment because of the two-way thing.
This next one's from Brooks. 4 years ago, I won my biggest league, a 5x5 OBP head-to-head league, 10 teams. The past 3 years, I have either finished the regular season in first or second while dominating my league, but I have ended up choking in the playoffs. I am currently in first place this season. Are there any general tips to reverse my recent playoff curse? My league does not have a trade deadline this season.
Oh! I scoff at that, but that's okay. Interesting.
My pitchers include Garrett Cole, Sonny Gray, Lance Lynn, Alex Colome, Ryan Pressly, Tristan McKenzie, Charlie Morton, Lucas Giolito, Framber Valdez, and Kenta Maeda. Pretty good. I like that. My batters, Carlos Santana, Jose Abreu, who I picked up off waivers because a league mate rage dropped him, LOL. What?
I can see why you're first or second every year.
Jose Abreu? Oh my gosh, this hurts my soul. Eugenio Suarez, Starling Marte, Nicholas Castellanos, Nelson Cruz, and Alex Bregman. Any tips here, Scott? I mean, this team is a 10-team league, so keep that in mind. But this team is stacked in OBP.
I would say don't get too cute. That is, particularly if you have a history of losing in the playoffs, there's a tendency to do that. Just start your best lineup like you would during the regular season. And trust that you're talent's going to put you ahead. And it doesn't always, as a Braves fan, you should know it doesn't always in the playoffs. But if you stick to your approach eventually it will.
And I will say, in any type of head-to-head scoring format, in fantasy, anything, it doesn't matter. And you see this a lot in fantasy football, but in fantasy baseball, fantasy basketball, in a head-to-head scoring context, the best team does not always win in that fantasy season. There is a luck factor involved. Once you get to that point, it's a matter of who is hot at that point. You have a fantastic team. All it takes is 1 week, and that 1 week being the playoffs, for all of those players to slump at the same time, and boom, you lose. So there is a luck factor, and sometimes, you know, there's not really anything that you can do to change that. I think I agree with Scott. I think you just kind of don't overthink things, play the best plays, and you should be in pretty good shape. But I like that team a lot. So good luck, Brooks. And his final note, P.S. Go Braves!
Oh, I thought you already read that one. Yeah, that's why I mentioned he was a Braves fan. You should know. You should know, Brooks, how this works with the playoffs.
This next one's from Rich. Dear Carlos, Gio, Kyle, and Sixto.
Ah. What are those? I mean, Sixto Sanchez, obviously. What's the connection here?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out right now. I'll read off the question. I'll try and figure it out while you're answering the question. I am in a 12-team, 6x6 daily roto league with OPS and quality starts and playing this format for the first time after deciding to freeze our normal keeper rosters in a 6x6 head-to-head categories league. So normally plays head-to-head categories. This year they're playing head-to-head. No, they're playing a daily roto league. I got to say, I'm loving it. And with the help of the FBT crew, I'm comfortably in first place by 21.5 points with a couple weeks to go. Congrats, let's go. The issue here is, since this is a daily roto league, the players behind me are chasing the counting stats for pitchers with daily pickups, wins, Ks, and quality starts, albeit most have not thrived with the ratios with that strategy. Is there any way to combat that to hold on without falling too far down in those counting stats, hence bringing me closer to the rest of the pack? I currently lead in ERA, WHIP, and quality starts, but have fallen to 6th in wins and 3rd in strikeouts and tied for 1st in saves. My pitchers are Bieber, Sonny Gray, Zach Gallen, Chris Paddock, Tristan McKenzie, Pablo Lopez, Corbin Burns, Dane Dunning, Ryan Pressly, Zach Britton, and Devin Williams. Is my staff good enough to hold on for the rest of the year, or is there someone that is expandable and can use as a that I can use as a streaming slot in my staff? What do you think, Scott?
First of all, this is the big problem with daily lineup leagues, that people can do this, because this is really not the point of playing fantasy baseball. Shouldn't it just be plugging in the person who's playing that day to put you ahead? But that being said, I don't think you want to play their game, because what has you ahead is dominating those ratio stats that they're going to keep tripping over themselves in because they're doing this. You have to keep those locked up. I think you look at where else you can gain ground, maybe in the hitter categories. Maybe it's saves. Saves is an easy category to gain ground. Stolen bases is an easy category to gain grounds. I don't know how easily you can come by a base stealer at this point. But if you have ground to make up in saves, like, pay really close attention to the closer turnover and go heavily after those guys, because, you know, even if they don't work out, they're not going to hurt your ratios too much because they're so low volume. But yeah, look at the hitter categories. Power guys, you may be able to make up ground in those categories just by, you know, changing the type of hitters you start. And that would be how I approached it. I wouldn't try and join in and chasing the counting stats for pitchers.
And I will add that in a daily lineup league, I think, you know, to combat this, you can either set like a weekly limit on how many starts you can have, or just a yearly limit. And obviously that changes things, because then you're not just going to pick up everyone and just start a bunch of players.
You need to do something like that. I would definitely, I don't know if you're the commissioner or not, but I would definitely look into the structure of the league. I mean, nobody likes when I say this, but I think an elegant solution, if you want daily lineups, is to just have weekly waivers. And then you have your player allotment for the week, and you can rearrange your lineup as much as you want. Not for everybody, I guess, but your solutions could work too.
All right, next up we have, this one's from Mark. I'm in a 16-team league, five keepers every year, head-to-head. Today I got an offer of Walker Buehler and Luis Robert for Wander Franco and Zach Gallen. I got Gallen for free as a throw-in in an earlier trade this year. So in my eyes, it's basically Buehler and Robert for Franco. My other keepers are Nolan Arenado, Nate Pearson, Jesus Luzardo, and Bo Bichette. I have kept Franco the past 2 years already, just knowing how much hype he has. Would it be silly to trade him now, potentially the year before he plays in the bigs? This is a 16-team head-to-head. Just as head-to-head.
Oh, man. What do you think, Frank?
Yeah, so this is the age-old question of trading away, especially in a dynasty or keeper context, a top-flight prospect for players who are already proven commodities. And given
was just a top-flight prospect himself, so it's not like there's an age discrepancy, really, between him and Robert.
Yeah. And we already revealed our two-round mock. We took Walker Buehler ahead of Zach Gallen, and Walker Buehler is either younger or the same age as Gallen, so that's close. What you're kind of hoping that Wander Franco like performs as well as Luis Robert has already this season, right? I would want Walker Buehler and Robert. I understand the hype behind Franco. Maybe he turns out to be like the next Juan Soto, but I've seen
they only get
from
five
Robert
keepers
already
every year, and it sounds like you have Bichette locked up in one of those spots, right? Would you want to keep two shortstops?
Also a good point.
Yeah, I think I lean very slightly toward Buehler and Robert, but it's hard.
It is, and Gallen's great too. And if that's the case, you're probably not keeping Pearson. You're probably at that point then going Buehler, Luis Robert, Arenado, Luzardo, and Bichette, right, Scott?
Yep.
It's close. That's the way that I lean.
Yeah. Is it points or Roto too? That might make a difference.
He said
if
it was
head points,
to head.
I think I'd go to with Franco.
Yeah, so he doesn't say head-to-head categories or head-to-head points, just says head-to-head.
Yeah, points or categories. So points, I would say Franco, because Robert looks like very much a more of a categories type player.
This one's from Mike. What are you doing with Joey Gallo? I know he has a volatile profile, but he's been horrendous, especially recently. Will you hold on to him or drop him for someone like Ryan Mountcastle or Austin Riley?
It's a volatile profile. He could hit five home runs next week. I don't think you can drop him for those two. I know I sat him in a league this past week, but I felt uncomfortable with it. I think you just hold on.
Joey Gallo is batting 176 with seven home runs and 17 RBI. I remember, it feels like just yesterday the season started and we were talking about how he wasn't striking out and this might be the year of Joey Gallo. And then he just, gosh, plummeted. So that is the type of volatility that we're dealing with. I probably would not do it either. This one's from Ashton. I'm in a 10-team league, 10-team head-to-head points league. Keep three. One pitcher, one infielder, one outfielder. I punted this year after losing a few weeks and traded most of my team for next year's picks. Should I keep Yordan Alvarez or Austin Meadows? I traded Christian Yelich for a first and 2 fourth-round picks next season. So keep Yordan Alvarez.
I think Alvarez, the fact he ended up having knee surgery, I think that's actually a good sign because it takes away that uncertainty. Certainly we liked him more than Meadows coming into this season. Meadows has been bad. He's been kind of in and out of the lineup too. Just the Rays have liked to mix and match so much. I'm not saying he won't be a full-timer going forward, but I feel like he's lost more value this year than Alvarez has, even though Alvarez hasn't played at all.
Yeah, that's fair. Man, I'm going to buy the dip though on Austin Meadows. I don't think that, you know, he is any less of a talented player, but I think he is going to fall down draft boards. I think he will be someone who suffers from what he's done so far in 2020. So I'm going to be interested heading into next season. But if Yordan Alvarez is healthy, I think his upside is probably higher than Austin Meadows. Some team name Tuesday, Scott. This one's from Sam. Cool Dunnings.
Oh, with cool, like Chad Cool.
Chad Cool.
That is the rare case of cramming in two player names and it working. I like that.
He also put in parentheses, please tell me you get this one, Frank. And I do. I watch a lot of Cool Runnings growing up.
You're good with the kids' movies, it seems like. The movies geared toward children.
Yeah. I had a great childhood. And then after that, it just, you know, once I discovered fantasy sports, every type of outside source of life pretty much went downhill for me. Scott, do you understand how to say this next one? Is it supposed to be said a certain phrase? Because I'm not understanding it. The one from Baron. Do you see it?
Eliezer.
Eliezer, this he does is magic.
And that sounds like Yasmani money, Tomas problems to me. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Apologies, Baron. If you want to explain it, please email me and tell me how I got it wrong, because I'm sure there's something that I'm missing here. This was from Robert on Twitter. Harold and Kumar go to Mountcastle.
Yummy. Yeah, that's good.
All right, some final APR Apple Podcast review questions. This one's from Jay Brandelis. It really does sound like Adam and Scott are singing the Beach Boys / Domingo Santana song. I know it's someone else, but would they ever consider doing a rendition themselves? Scott, I know you like to sing.
I don't like to sing as much as Adam likes to sing. That is something we definitely could think about doing.
Let's probably not do. I'll hit up Adam and see if he's down for that. This was from MN Critter. Hey guys, I'm in a 10-team head-to-head, 10-team total points league with unlimited daily moves. I need more bench space for pitching. Please pick two of the following players to drop: Ramon Laureano, Rhys Hoskins, Jonathan Villar, and Gleyber Torres.
Oh man, two to drop in a points league. VR's easy then in a points league. Get him out of there. Laureano, I think that's pretty easy. Those two.
I agree. This one's from Jay Hendricks T. In a head-to-head category dynasty league, how would you feel about a Patrick Corbin and Travis d'Arnaud for Whit Merrifield trade? Long-term and playoff implications.
So I'm a little scared of some of the trends we're seeing from Patrick Corbin this season, as I pointed out on the Monday podcast. But I'm not so scared that I'm ready to give up the potential high-end pitcher without getting one in return. I mean, Corbin is only 31. You could spin that negatively or positively. I think there's a good chance he has 4-5 strong years left. And Whit Merrifield's not a young guy either. So I'd rather hold on to Corbin in a dynasty context, especially.
Yeah, Corbin's getting up there. He's not young either. I think this is close.
Yeah, 31. He's 31, and yeah. I think Merrifield's 31 also, right?
Yeah.
That'd be true. That might be right. It might be wrong.
Well, let's find out. Whit Merrifield is 31 years old.
There you go.
And did you know Patrick Corbin's age for sure, or did you just make up?
I know it for sure because I mentioned it on the Monday podcast.
31 years old. They are both 31 years old. I will agree with you. We'll go with Patrick Corbin. All right, Scotty.
Do you ever disagree with me, Frank? Has it ever happened?
Yeah, I'm sure it has.
I know it's happened at least once before. I recall one time when it happened.
Yeah. Maybe we need to start disagreeing more. I'll start to think of some things that we can just... You love Seinfeld. Apparently, you know, not really for me, but there you go.
You haven't given it a chance, Frank.
Yeah, I guess.
There's not enough magical forest creatures in it for you, I guess.
There's not enough hours in the day, Scott, to watch all these shows, watch all these movies, and continue to keep up with all of our fantasy baseball knowledge. All right, please let us know. What did you think of our 2-round mock, our first for 2021? Leave us a comment on YouTube. Hit us up on Twitter at @Roto_Frank, at CBS Scott White on Twitter. Send us in some emails. What did you think of our first 2-round mock draft? I'm sure we left some players out, and of course we had some omissions, but it was fun, and I'm sure it's going to change throughout the course of the offseason. He is Scott White. I am Frank Sample. Thank you all for listening and watching Fantasy Baseball Today on our YouTube channel. We'll be back again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.